I believe we're joined by Marceline herself. Are you there, Marceline?
Yes, I am. Hello, how are you?
Very, very good, and boy, it's great to be talking to you. And congratulations once again on your annual award event in the name of Victoire Ingabire, where those who have written or worked for peace and democracy in the Great Lakes region are recognized. Tell us, first of all, what was the event like? When I'm very proud of the fact that I was once a recipient of that award, and the events themselves are really impressive. I was knocked out. But what was it like this year?
It was as colorful as what it is used to be. Many people who attended, and we have got also an online contact with Victoire, who talked to us. And and this year we had, if I can say, three winners mm-hmm. for the prize.
Wow.
Yes. And later on, I will tell you who they are.
Yes, I mean, and by the way, I'm glad you said three, because I knew that two names, but then there is a group of artists. But I'll leave it to you. Who won? Who were this year's winners? And what? Tell us about them.
Yeah, the first winner is he is called Kambare Mustavoy. Mm-hmm. I think that many people know him. He comes from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and he is a great defender of human rights. He has done tremendous work, and he tries to make young people become active change makers in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
He is very sensitive to the miserable conditions in which the Congolese population is living.
Mm-hmm.
And he has joined many groups of young people, and he has also written extensive articles in favor of peace and justice in Congo. He has published in Washington Post, Foreign Policy in Focus, mm-hmm. the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. So he's a regular, he leads conferences too, and he's done so many, many things for his country and for the Great Lakes region as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever wants to know him a little bit or further, he can consult his website, which is kambare.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can get all information about him, but I can say that the work he does is very tremendous.
I was just going to say, I noticed there was a very good article profiling him, talking about him in Black Agenda Report, written by Anne Garrison, who was, mm-hmm. by the way, also a winner of this award. And he gave a TED Talk, I think, like a 5-minute sort of summary, so that people can really get a picture of the issues that he thinks are most important in the Great Lakes region. He mm-hmm. focuses on the issue of cobalt, doesn't he? Is it cobalt? No, I got the wrong mineral.
Yes, he's Congolese, and he focuses his work mainly on
coltan.
Congo,
coltan, pardon me. Yes, coltan.
The content of his work
mm-hmm.
focuses, yes, on Congo, on the plunder of minerals from Congo. Congo subject is as large as you can imagine, and he has really done too much work on that, and mm-hmm. He tries to advocate for irresponsible exploitation of natural resources, for example, taking into account the needs of population. So that, can you imagine that the DRC is the richest country as far as its soil is concerned, and in natural resources, but it is at the same time its population is the most poor, all the poor. So Mr. Kambale is advocating for the responsible exploitation of those natural resources so that they can benefit the population.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he gives some many preferences, and he tries also to let the young populations become change makers in the environment.
Yes. Now, when he spoke, did he take? I know that when I've read him before, he talks about the negative role of the M23 and how this really has to be settled. Did he talk about that in his receiving speech?
Yes, of course, because it was the main subject of the moment. I also couldn't make it. He didn't come personally to Brussels. So we made an online conference, and he talked to us. At that time, it was asked to the M to withdraw from the Congolese soil. You know that that movement, M is the main which causes havoc in the DRC.
Yes. And by the way, you yourself have spoken about this. We've interviewed you in the past about it. And I just wonder, both from his words and I think we just lost our friend. This is the Taylor Report, in case you're wondering. And that's our busy signal, in case you want to know how that sounds. We're going to try to get Marceline back. And Phil, I don't know if you know this story, but this M23 organization is very tricky to deal with, because the government that sponsors it claims no connection. So if they're asked to do something, they always say what they're thinking about it. And then when you ask those who have the most influence over them, they say they know nothing. It's really like watching the U.S. operate in Syria or Iraq, and they will say, well, we have no connection to those people. And you say, well, they're getting guns from somewhere. And they seem to be, when we catch one or two of them, they always seem to be well trained by you. And then they you draw a blank. It makes it extremely frustrating to resolve.
Phil, this interference in Congo, it goes back a very long time, because when we were young people, this wonderful hero emerged in Africa.
Speak for yourself. Go ahead.
You were a young guy, too.
Yes.
Patrice Lumumba, right? And his name is bigger now than ever. Even though they murdered him, and they tortured him and murdered him and besmirched his name.
And all of us had a hand.
Yeah.
Canada had a hand in
yes.
that.
Yes.
Belgium had a hand. And the U.S., you're quite right. I mean, whenever we have these discussions, like the East Congo and all that, and Rwanda, you have to keep an eye on the foreign players, because it's their money, and they raise the most. They see to it, you know, that the fire continues to burn. Speaking of the fire burning, it's Marceline Dubamungu. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I don't know what happened.
Paul Kagame did not like what you said.
I think so.
That's exactly. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what happened. So we were talking about M23, and I'm trying to explain it. The government of Rwanda denies connection, right? They don't. They say they have no connection to M23, which makes it hard to solve.
Yeah, they say they have no connections, but when it comes to talks, why are they the same, the Rwandese government and the Rwandese representatives who go to talks with the Congolese? So it is quite clear that they are the ones behind. Hmm. And you know that even before the M23, there were other rebellions which were supported by Rwanda. So that's not very new. They deny, but I think that it is an open secret that they help that movement.
While we were waiting for you to come back, I mentioned that there is some optimism. Are you among those who are optimistic that more countries are taking a role and expecting M23 to pull out, and that they wish to guarantee that? What's your position on that?
I think that the M23 can withdraw if the international community is quite serious about that. You remember that some years ago, in 2013, I think, the M23 had begun its war against the DRC, DRC. And once the international community, especially the United States, expressed its concerns about it, they withdrew and went. Some went to Congo, to Uganda, others went to Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent 10 years with that, invading the DRC, and they are just coming back this year, from the beginning of last year. So I think that if the community faces it seriously, and especially talks to those companies which benefit from the plundering of the natural resources,
yes.
I think that the M23 is nothing if it's not supported by people behind.
Yes.
So let's say that the international community has its role to play in order to allow the DRC get rid of the M23, but without the pressure of the international community,
yes.
Those people will not live by themselves.
Yes. But by the way, when you say that, specifically, we're getting more encouraging signs, are we not, from Angola, Kenya, Zimbabwe? I don't know who the others are, but I had the impression from recent meetings that their voices are a little stronger than they used to be.
Maybe the M23 has changed, or maybe it has got those 10 years to reorganize, because 10 years ago, the SADC organization had played a major role in helping them to withdraw. But now it seems there are other forces, East African forces and so on. But I doubt that forces can do anything tangible, because Rwanda is member of the EAC forces, Uganda is a member,
yes.
South Sudan is a member, and Kenya. So I can't wait anything from them, the EAC East African force, because the countries which are part of the conflict can't be part of the solution.
Uh-huh.
So I think that I think that the international community must open its their eyes. Unfortunately, now many people are turned towards Ukraine and are neglecting what's happening in DRC. And I think that without pressure, the M23 will not leave the DRC.
Well, we're going to promise that in 6 months we can talk to you again, and we will look on the barometer and see if the arrow has moved. Now, another recipient of your award was Mr. John Williams Ntwale. But he's deceased. Tell us about him.
John Williams Ntwale was a journalist. So we gave him the prize posthumously, because he died before we could give him the prize. He's a very courageous journalist he was, he was, also he had the courage to do the work which is no longer done in Rwanda. And he died at the age of 33. He was already on a blacklist of journalists to be silenced. I don't know if you are on Twitter, but you could have noticed that one people had established a list of people who must be silenced. And John Williams was the sixth, I think, on the list of seven.
Hmm.
And we don't agree with the police, which says that he would have died on the spot in a road accident, which occurred in the night of February 19. But this thesis does not convince anyone, because many people are dying the same way. I think that you remember also the death of Rwigara Sinapor. It was the same thing. The father of Diana Rwigara.
I was going to mention this. Yes.
Yes, he died the same way, and it seems people in Rwanda die this way. A car which hit a motorcycle, and the people die instantly. But I think that it's not true. Yeah. So I think that because he was courageous enough to go and cover the hot topics which could cause injury to the power, especially the spoliation of properties of Kangondo, the coverage of a trial of political prisoners like Christopher Kayumba, and other journalists and people who are imprisoned since last year and before, such as the Chuma Niyonsenga Dieudonne. And I think that he couldn't be pardoned because of that work, and also he had become the editor of the Chronicles, and you remember that that journal belonged to Christopher Kayumba before he went to prison. So when he was imprisoned, John Williams Ntwari became the editor of the Chronicles in the place of Christopher Kayumba. But now Christopher Kayumba has come out of the prison, but his friend is no longer living.
It's very dangerous to be a journalist in Rwanda.
Very, very dangerous.
I saw one headline saying this is the death of the last journalist. Let's hope that's not true. You spoke a while ago of international support and attention, but those inside Rwanda who raise questions, it's very brave, and I would not be one to even suggest they do so, because it takes great courage, and the amount of support, fortunately, organizations such as yours do defend and recognize their work, but they're in a very hostile environment. Now, on the matter of the, and you had a third prize this year, and I believe it was for artists, were they musicians?
Yes.
Can you tell us about them?
Yes, the third prize, you see, in 2020, we gave the prize posthumously to late Kizito Mihigo. And this is John William Ntwari is another one to whom we gave the prize posthumously. So we reflected and said that and found that we have now to recognize the work of those people, of human rights activists, Rwandan human activists. Mm-hmm. We didn't name them. We didn't name them because whether they are alive or dead, we didn't name them because naming somebody there is attracting him worries and problems. So we wanted to show them that we know the price they pay when working on human rights in Rwanda. And we collectively recognize the work through that prize, which is given to Rwandan human rights activists. There are many. There are some who are in prison. There are some who are free, but who have to take care every day in order not to go to prison for any reason. Mm-hmm. I think that you remember that there are many people who are in prison for having read a book some 1 year ago, who read a book and who are in prison now. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that in the 21st century, people go to prison because they have read a book?
Yes.
Can you imagine that? So that third prize was meant for them, those activists, the ones we know, the ones we don't know, the ones which we see, which are visible, and the one who are invisible. So we wanted to salute their work. We wanted to show them that they are not alone. They are there.
Yes.
We appreciate, but it's so difficult to name them because they attract them problems.
Yes. We should remind people of how many people there are. I don't know if you have a number yourself, but I think Rwanda is second in the world for a number of percentage of the population that is in prison. The champion is the United States, of course, hands down, but Rwanda has thousands and thousands of prisoners who are there not for ordinary crimes, but basically political thought or accusations based on neighbors who are supporting or informers for the government, right?
Mm-hmm. Many prisoners, there are some prisoners who are there for almost 30 years, mm-hmm. who are in prison since 1994. Once the RPF took power, those people, many are there for genocide, or are thought to have committed genocide. Mm-hmm. There are others who are in for common offenses, mm-hmm. and there are journalists and political activists and human rights activists, many, mm-hmm. many. Mm-hmm. So Rwandan prisons are overcrowded. And I think that there was an excellent book published on them by Karin Tetsakian, I think, and which highlights the conditions of prison there. It is horrible, horrible thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I highlighted that because I noticed also Victoire recently tweeted on the issue of there was a release of the very prominent individual, Roussa Sabagina. And she said about that, she says, I was released some years ago, and I hoped at that time that it meant that there was going to be an improvement, but there has been no improvement. The basic population who are really at risk of being arrested and incarcerated for no reason other than political associations or accusations, remains basically forgotten. And I'm very glad for Paul, but I think we really should use the occasion to say there are thousands who should be released.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Victoire Ingabire said that when she was released, the Rwandan government wanted to prove that even the opposition members can get out of prison. But she said that since she was released, the government doesn't allow her to work as a political a politician, because her party is not registered. And imagine that the RPF is the one which gives you the permission to register as a political party. It is itself a political party, but it is the one who agrees for other political parties to function. So it is a little bit strange. And Victoria says, yeah, Victoria says...
That's a very generous term. Strange.
Yes. Strange. Victoria said, I was released so that they can show the world that the opposition can work, but she does nothing. Her party is not registered, and she can't do anything.
Yes.
And Rusesa Bagina was released. That was a very good thing, but also quite strange, because 2 months ago, President Kagame was vowing that nobody will get Rusesa Bagina unless there is a war, and that the pop. I think that he said that after the visit of Mr. Blinken, because I think talked about the matter, and he was not willing to release him. And when we learned that he was released, we couldn't believe it. At first, we couldn't believe. So he's released because the American people and there are activists who worked on that, but there are so many other people, many other people inside Rwanda prison. Yes.
That's very important. And you know, Marceline Duwamungu, I have to point out it's your work, and it's the work of the Women's International Network for Democracy and Peace in Victoire Ingabire that is making it possible for people to learn about the all the thousands of Rwandans who are deprived of their freedom. And so I commend you on your work, and we thank you very, very much for talking to us.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me and allowing me to tell you about what we do every day. Thank you very much.
And we're definitely going to come back to you in 6 months to find out what has happened in East Congo.
Yes. thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, welcome.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Marceline Duwamungu, and the organization is Women's International Network for Democracy and Peace. It's the Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza Prize, and much coveted. There's wonderful individuals who've been named. It's also a great way to understand the region. If you go to the speeches of the recipients and to the talks, and like this year, they featured a talk from Victoire herself. She lives in Rwanda, but as was pointed out, she is not able to function. Her party is not able to function. We'll tell what's his name, the Secretary of State of the U.S. about it. He'll fix that. It's just all you have to do is call him up.